Hello and welcome to episode number 34 of Light the Eye. Illinois basketball is into the Elite Eight. I'm Scott Beatty.
I'm Robert Rosenthal.
We are brought to you by the U of I Credit Union. The Illini have slayed the Cougars of Houston and now will face the Iowa Hawkeyes. I've already received a few messages asking, is Robert okay? We're about to find out. Stick around as we light the eye. Robert, the city of Champaign has issued some liquor restrictions for tomorrow afternoon and evening in preparation for the party that could be if the Illini can get
serious?
Past the... I'm serious. I just came across the News Gazette. They're putting various restrictions in place to, keep the train on the tracks, so to speak, just in case.
Like no public consumption kind of stuff?
I mean, you could go read it, but a lot of things like no glass, nothing served in glass. It's all going to be plastic, you know, restrictions on no deliveries of alcohol. Some of the, it's mainly in the campus area. There's some citywide stuff. It's not like no alcohol. It's, I would say, restrictions around it in preparation for it. It kind of reminded me of some of the things that go on during unofficial, which has lost... It's not close to what it used to be, and that's probably a good thing. But that's for another day. Anyway, the point is Illinois threw the Sweet 16, and the thought is you just beat the toughest team in your path to get to the Final Four. Now, Iowa is red hot, but how sweet was it, Robert? You were there yesterday.
It was pretty amazing. I mean, It's very clear to me now that this season is about the road. It just is what the story of this season is going to be because, you know, there were the tough home losses to, you know, you lost to Wisconsin at home in overtime. You lost to Nebraska at home. There, you know, Michigan, obviously the game wasn't close and this and that, but then Illinois would go on the road and went to Nashville and beat Tennessee and went to Missouri and beat St. Louis, went to St. Louis and beat Missouri, went to Purdue and beat Purdue, went to Nebraska and beat Nebraska, and this was another, like, okay, in their town, 2.5 miles from their basketball arena. I would say 75% to 80% Houston fans in the building compared to Illinois fans and road environment and went in and took them out with a 17-0 run. So it's just the continues this, you know, go back to the rob the bank stuff from Nebraska of it continues this run of, okay, we're not afraid or intimidated in your place with your fans. We have something in the second half that's going to put this game away. So it was a lot of fun in there, and it was a lot of Houston fans frustrated and yelling at the refs and yelling at the Illinois players and everything else, and just a cool, steady 17-0 run put it away.
Do you remember what Brad Underwood said on Wednesday about playing Houston in Houston?
His quote about I'm an old JUCO ball coach.
He said I would crawl.
Crawl.
Mm-hmm. He would crawl to get there if you had told him when he was driving the 16-passenger van from Dodge City, Kansas to Mesa, Arizona with a team to go play some JUCO tournament. If you had told him that one day you're going to be in the Sweet 16, but you got to play the number 2 seed in their home city 2.5 miles from their home arena, he said, I would crawl to get there. He was waiting for this chance. And Houston, you have to understand, Houston had made, was it 7 straight Sweet 16s? including yesterday. They've had five consecutive 30-plus. If there's ever a program, 30-plus wins, if there's a program out there where you go, how have they not yet won it? It's Houston. They have been knocking on the door year after year, and you think, well, one of these years it's just going to be their turn, and maybe last year was going to be, but they lose in the final, and now Illinois comes in, and you're looking at going, well, you know, Illinois is really good, a super efficient offense, but their defense is strong, but not quite what everyone else, you know, all the other elite teams can you bring you, and we're on our home floor, and sort of, and we've got three quarters of the fans here, and this is, we get to host in our own city. I mean, this is it.
It
was.
And I feel like what, go ahead.
No, I just, I mean, there's, forget the history with Kelvin Sampson. It just felt like, you know, that program is, at some point, it's their turn. And Illinois came in and spoiled the party.
Last year, what, they led by five with 3 minutes to go against Florida in the title game? Or six, something like that? Like, they had a, like, 85% scenario where they were going to win the national championship, and they didn't. And they go out, and they get this super freshman, and they, you know, return some key pieces, and they're number four in KenPom going into this, and they're playing at home. I feel like what got lost is in the whole, like, Houston in Houston thing was this is one of the top four teams in the country, and Illinois took them out fairly handily. If Illinois hits free throws, it's a 16-point win, 18-point win, something like that. You know, all the missed free throws allowed them to come back a little bit, cut it to seven at least, but, you know, never really threatened fully. But, yeah, I mean, this is – it got lost that, like, oh, it's you have to play a road game or whatever, and then it's forgotten that, like, no, this is probably easily one of the top five teams in the tournament. And Illinois took them out. So now what? You know, now what awaits this team? Three down, three to go? What could, you know, how far are we allowed to dream here?
Well, look, you're playing a nine seed, and we can get into that in a moment, but it's a red-hot nine seed. Nobody that gets into the Elite Eight is not hot. With how they've played. But if you had told me Illinois won this game, maybe a mild surprise, maybe, but it's a three seed over a two seed. It happens, you know. If you told me Illinois beat them on their in their home city, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a little bit more. To me, though, it was the surprise of it was Illinois kind of controlled the game for the most part. There was a run there from Houston, but Illinois controlled it, and they went on that 17-0 run. I mean, the kill shot in the first half. Yep. And, you know, now everybody's got to chew their nails a little bit because we've seen leads go away before. But that didn't happen.
I think it was – I want to credit the person. I think this was Isaac Trotter's stat that he put out on Twitter. But it's the first 17-0 or more run that Houston's given up in 8 years. Like, they don't give up runs. That's not Kelvin Sampson basketball. Their defense is so strong, their consistency is so good, that they just don't give up runs like this. So that's what was so stunning. When Ben Hummerkaus hit that three and Houston called another timeout, emotionally for me, the fan inside was as wide-eyed and as I want to grab my hair and pull it up, but like, what is happening? Of like, we're not just winning this game, we're dominating one of the top five teams in the country. And then my brain immediately goes to, okay, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean for the next three games? To, you know, Illinois hasn't just won these games, right? Favored by 25 over Penn, won by 35. Favored by 12 over VCU, won by 21. 2.5-point underdogs against Houston, won by 10 and should have been 15. Like, this is not just a team, oh, hey, they're always playing well. This is a team dominating three opponents. Haven't let anybody within 10 points of them yet. So, hey, it's incredible so far.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
There you go. And this was three massive covers so far. So, and I mean, they're not really even shooting that great. It's not like this is some, like, wow, they're on fire, like Iowa has been. It hasn't been because of, like, crazy shooting numbers. It's just been because of solid basketball and great defense.
Well, and I'll say, I've said it before on this pod, and I'll say it again. If Illinois is to go as far as they go, they will do it in large part because of two true freshmen. And you get a double-double from both Keaton Wagler and David Mirkovic, who's becoming a bit of a star now, a celebrity, because of his quirks and he's just a funny, he's an entertaining human being.
Yes, he is.
And he's a great ball player. And I mean, the stories abound, and it's all set up now for in an Elite Eight. All right.
Yep.
But we have to do, I almost thought, do we have to do a wellness check? Because as we talked a couple of episodes, somebody actually asked me, is this Robert's nightmare, Illinois and Iowa, for a chance to go to the Final Four? Do you, sir, look at it as, oh, no, not them? Or do you look at it a chance against them?
I wrote about this last night. And, when we've talked about it the other two times on the pod, I brought up the meme. It's the old video. It's an old guy teaching, self-defense lessons. I'll have to explain this to you because you said you weren't familiar with it. So a guy comes up to an old man at his car, pulls out a knife, and says, "Give me all your money." The old man fakes like he's having a heart attack, but while he's bent over having the heart attack, he's pulling his gun out. And so he screams, "Call an ambulance." And then he stands back up and says, "But not for me." So,
I
wrote
was your
last
reference.
Night.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So the "call an ambulance, but not for me." I also wrote about that really bad B movie where the guy in prison is and there's somebody tries to shiv him and he beats him in the food line. And it's like, you guys don't understand.
But wait, these have taken dark turns here.
Yes.
We're going into some violent metaphors. Are you okay? But
Just wait. In this scene, the guy's you don't understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. It's this tough guy. You don't understand. I'm the problem here. And then I also wrote about Breaking Bad, the scene of Walter White's wife saying, "Hey, I'm worried about you. You're in these dangerous situations." He's like, "What danger do you think I am? I am the danger. I'm the one who knocks." And my whole attitude has shifted on these moments of when the 17-year-old run happened, I had this wait, why am I afraid of having to play Iowa? Iowa absolutely needs to be afraid. I was locked in here with us. So my entire, biting my nails, sniveling, fear of earlier in this week has turned to, wait, we're really, really dangerous. Nobody has come within 10 points of us, and we haven't shot the ball well yet, except for the second half against Penn. If we get the offense humming and we get Wagler to have another one of his 28-point games, we are really, really dangerous. So for those concerned, look, we're still got, 29 hours until game time? I reserve the right to go back to biting my nails and whimpering in the corner. But for now,
I've never known you to oscillate. I've never known you to oscillate between extremes of emotions before, though.
Yes, just ride the whims of whatever my brain is telling me. Things weren't good in the first half, let's just say that. I was stressing and sweating, and there's a whole long story there that we don't have time to go into. But yeah, something about when we hit those back-to-back threes, I think, the first one was Wagler and the second was Hummerkaus? I don't remember who the first one was, but the two threes that put us up 18 and Houston called a timeout, and I'm in a spot where there's Houston fans all around me, and they are just, stunned, talking to each other. I'm like, how is this happening? We don't give up runs like this. And so when that happened, it's just a switch flipped inside of me of, wait a second, we're dangerous. Like, we're a dangerous, dangerous basketball team. I am the one.
I mean, it's been known, though, all year long that this it's a dangerous offense, and it's highly efficient. But the fact that they – I mean, going back, just the fact that they – you said dominated. And to me, it wasn't a – you know, it wasn't a blowout. It was, yep. though, at what point did Houston feel comfortable?
You're right. And they talked about that afterwards. Like the one of the players – forget what question he was answering, and somebody asked just about rebounds, and he's like, yeah, we pride ourselves on that the guards on other teams don't get rebounds or something like that. And he's got a stat sheet in front of him, and mid-sentence, as he's answering this reporter's question, mid-sentence, he's like, and then they, he's like, oh, Wagler got 12 rebounds? And then he says something like, coach is not going to be happy about that. Like, he knew the tongue lashing that would come if there was practice tomorrow of, like, you guys let a guard get 12 rebounds? And he's like, yeah, but we got to clean that up. And just, you know, it was so funny to hear his disposition change as he saw a 12 on the stat sheet of, like, oh, man, yeah, I know what happens with Coach Sampson if we allow a guard to get 12 rebounds. We – well, run forever at the next practice.
Yeah, you can enhanced conditioning is what it's called. Not running forever.
Yes.
It's enhanced conditioning.
Yes. Speaking of conditioning, I've had a lot of people ask me about the long jump down here in Houston. So people are still in on it.
Yeah. Again, once again, I will reiterate, there are people concerned about you. Trying to do a long jump and whether or not you would injure yourself. And I have to balance that with holding you accountable to capricious claims that you make on a whim.
Yes.
So
the theme is developing here. People are concerned about my ability to jump 10 feet. They're also concerned about my mental well-being playing Iowa. Let me just say to all the listeners and watchers of Light the Eye, I appreciate your concern for my health and mental well-being.
But it's not about you. It's about the team.
No, right? Not at all. Not at all. Yes. Yes, nothing. Nothing about that.
Why would I ever write like that? You know, I don't venture too much into narrative land. That's your domain. Mm-hmm. But I've tried to think about it a little bit. Look, Nebraska was the... they were in the basement. They've never had success, but they stuck it out with their coach, and he finally got them into the tournament and got the program's first win. And not only that, they're a good team. They get into the Sweet 16. This is like, for Nebraska, it's Illinois football making its second bowl, and it's just like, okay, you know, we're back. Yep. We're relevant. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can say again when it comes to Nebraska basketball, but we're relevant as a basketball program now. And so them exiting in the Sweet 16 isn't like disaster. I mean, Fred Hoiberg should get a statue, right, in Lincoln for what he's done. And then, you know, then you think about Iowa, and the comparison was made on TV last night, and I was actually thinking, and I'm like, is this a little Kurt Cignetti-ish? With what Ben McCollum's done, he's brought along his own players who've just won with him wherever they've been, and they've just keep leveling up, and they've turned things around. And, you know, there's a story waiting to be written about Ben McCollum from Northwest Missouri State to Drake to Iowa to the Final Four and an improbable run after struggling through the end of the regular season as a 9 seed makes it through. But you know what? They have had a very good season. First time in a Sweet 16 since 1999. So
I would say the thing don't that you makes think it... that,
well, I was just going to say, go don't ahead. You think like that puts a bow on it for Iowa? Great. It's Illinois' turn.
Yeah.
Wherever this ends, we will talk about what is the legacy of this team. But I'm just saying, like, I think both of those programs have kind of set a legacy with what this season is for them, win or lose from this point on. But Illinois, I mean, Will Leach wrote about it on your site, you know, like Illinois' legacy. These guys will be all set this weekend. It's maybe their turn.
Yes. I think the – for the Cignetti thing, I did think about that, of like it does feel like, can this guy just coach anyone to win? You know, you see all those stats of like what he did in postseason play at Northwest Missouri State and then even at Drake and then – at Iowa, so like, is this guy just the postseason guru? The difference with Cignetti, obviously, is Iowa went 10-10 in the Big Ten, and you know,
yeah,
now
I'm
they
not,
won three games here, you know. So
the metaphor is going to break down at some point there, but
yes, and that's why I'm not as concerned. Like, this feels a little more like a Cinderella who then shoots poorly against a really good team tomorrow, more than it does like. They just got on a roll, you know, words I might eat tomorrow night. But it does, you know, they're losing to Nebraska the entire game until, what, 2 minutes to go, and Nebraska puts four players on the court, and the game falls apart at that point. And, you know, there's a lot going on here that maybe Iowa can't keep this run going. And so that has me encouraged as well about tomorrow. Look, I don't like the matchup. I was at the game in January when Illinois won at Iowa. Illinois jumped out to a 22-5 lead in the first 8 minutes as Iowa was just overwhelmed. And then Iowa won the last 32 minutes of the game. They played better than Illinois.
Illinois only won that game because time ran out.
Yes.
Like, it felt like Iowa was going to take it over if it was a 42 or 46 or 48-minute game.
Yes. 22-5 lead, and then Iowa chipped away for 32 minutes but just couldn't get all the way back. It's not the best matchup, and I don't like the grind-it-down defense that they play, and they're going to try and, you know, limit this to the smallest possessions possible in a game, and this is like playing a Virginia team, or it's like playing a Dick Bennett Wisconsin team of like, okay, let's try to win 55-53 kind of thing. So I won't enjoy that very much tomorrow, but I do think we can play well in that kind of setup.
Well, you just beat Houston. So
yes.
There's no reason to think you can't win tomorrow night. It will not be a gimme. Well, I would just say, color me shocked if it's a blowout win for Illinois.
Yes,
but there's no reason Illinois can't win the game. And either way, we'll be talking about it Monday next time. Yep. All right, sir. Enjoy Houston. I'm in State College, PA, by the way.
You got to catch a bus, right? I mean, I don't want you to miss the bus and not be able to broadcast the game.
Yeah. For anybody who's like, basketball. Tell me about baseball. We got three games coming up. Good chance to win a road series in the Big Ten. All right, sir.
Okay.
You've made remarkable progress since this past Monday.
Thank you. I feel like it's come out of therapy. I'm like, all right, thanks. Can we set an appointment for next time? And maybe I can be even more confident at work.
We'll talk to you next time on Light the Eye. We should be in studio on Monday. Enjoy the Elite Eight. Enjoy the run, everybody. We'll talk to you again when we light the eye.
Go on.